This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast. I'm the Managing Editor for Taylist Media, Andy Davis, and joining me for this very brief introduction we have...
I am Lindsay Blair, and I am the editor of Kitchens, Bedrooms and Bathrooms magazine.
Now, hello, Lindsay. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, even though we've been here all day together.
Very polite.
Now, before we get into this week's episode, we have some very exciting news here from Taylor's Media Towers that we're going to take this opportunity to shamelessly plug. Now, Lindsay, this is very much your baby, so why don't you tell us all about what you've been working on?
Well, it's very exciting indeed, and I'm very, very proud to announce that KBB Magazine has a brand new website called These Three Rooms, and it's a consumer-facing website, and on it you will see all the faces behind the magazine. We are stepping from behind the curtain and revealing who we are and sharing all of our expertise in kitchen, bedroom and bathroom design. And we'll be there every single day sharing what we know. So you can really get to know us. And if you are renovating your home, you're just interested in design and just want to get to know us, then come and have a look.
Yeah, it's a fantastic concept, because it's not just taking the magazine and putting it onto a website.
No.
It's a completely new thing that we are very much pushing the expertise of the people involved. It's a very sort of blog, Instagram, social media-led thing, he says, sounding like a really old man. And I'm very excited about it. I'm really proud of it. And everyone's been working really hard. So how do we get to see it?
You can go to these3rooms.com and also follow KBB Magazine on Instagram, and you'll see regular updates of what's new on there.
There we go. Shameless plug complete. Now on to today's episode, and it's all about broken plan design. So Lindsay, I'm going to test you now. What is broken plan design?
Okay, broken plan design is, well, it is what it says, really. So open plan design, but broken. So we are moving away from vast open plan spaces into a more zoned space that is much more suitable to how we really live our lives. Because I don't think anyone wants to be rattling around in a very vast open plan room. So broken plan is about sectioning it off. The room as a whole, but not completely sectioned off, so very subtle. So it can be through furniture, through even different flooring types, through partition walls, that sort of thing, to create niches within the space that you can use for different functions.
Yeah, so it's the evolution of open plan design, isn't it? It's the next stage of what open plan design has become.
Exactly.
So I went off and I had a really interesting discussion on this very subject with two excellent designers, Stephen Dick from Residence Interior Design and Dan Strong from Jones Britain. And I actually met up at the flagship Smeg showroom in Regent Street here in London. So thank you to them for their hospitality. And I began, as always, by getting them to tell us a little bit more about themselves.
Okay, I'm Dan Strong. I'm the Managing Director of Jones Britain Kitchens. We are a small family-run business, but we're very design-driven. We have a showroom in the heart of East Sussex. So we're about 12 miles south of Tunbridge Wells. And we tend to do very traditional kitchens with maybe a bit of a modern twist, but very, very design-led.
Yeah, and they're beautifully made. They're very typical of those home county, audience and those clients, aren't they? So it's really nice stuff. Stephen, what about you?
So my name's Stephen Dick. I founded Residence Interior Design. We're a small design studio based in Hampshire. We work on private client residential projects across the whole of the southeast, predominantly London, but also Surrey, Hampshire, and other counties around there as well. I tend to work with clients very closely on full refurbishments, remodeling of their entire properties tends to be the most common projects. And I work very closely with clients to design something which is, which I suppose is unique to them, but it's specific to them and also their property and also the wider context of where they live. So every project comes out very different, which is very challenging, but also that's where, that's where the huge reward is doing something that's very specific to them. And the flip side of that is, I don't think of myself as being very trend-led or certainly fashion-led, but what I like to do is design things for clients that have much more longevity. And by doing something that's a response to them and their property and the wider context of where they live, they end up with an environment, an interior, which is something that's going to last them a long time.
Well, that brings us very nicely to our topic of discussion for today, because I want to explore open plan design, but specifically about how open plan design is moving on and how it is developing and evolving into something completely different. But let's sort of take a step back and sort of try and define what open plan is thought of in the minds of most clients that come through the door. Is it still knock everything down and have an enormous space that we can, yes, in a barn-like room? Is that still what they think open plan is?
Certainly our clients in Sussex and Kent, they're possibly a little bit behind the London people. But yeah, it's build big extensions and everything is enormous, great big spaces, dining room, living room, kitchen, everything is just one big open space. And that's what clients perceive open plan to be. Yeah.
I mean, is that what you see as well, Stephen? Is open plan still as big a space as possible?
I think there's more scope for that in the work that we do in the country rather than in town where the spaces are more compact. Certainly there's that desire to sort of open up, bring more functions together, more light flowing through freer circulation in those spaces as well. I suppose it has almost become a bit of a default. It's something which throws up challenges, which I think have to be designed with very carefully. I mean, I see places where, I think as Dan said, spaces have just been opened up and opened up, and you end up with these huge sort of cavernous environments, and I don't think they work so well.
Which is kind of the question really is that's become a level of default. And the idea of the bifold doors and an enormous island and all that kind of thing have become very much the norm. But what I want to kind of examine now is how that is evolving. What is that becoming? There's this phrase, broken plan, which is a sort of catch-all phrase for the evolution of open plan. But how do you think this is moving forward, Stephen? Let's start with you. What subtle changes are you noticing?
Well, I think broken plan, I think, is an absolutely wonderful expression because it's sort of, it gives us a way of talking about what I think is a good design and a good design approach to, I suppose, larger, open or connected spaces. And I think, if I think about the work that I've done over the past, say, 10, 15 years, there are many open spaces. But within that, there's a lot of attention that I've paid to making those spaces work. And they don't work because they've just got bigger and bigger. They work because within these larger interconnected spaces, there is a way of making, I suppose, separate areas or functions within that, making them places that people can relate to on a, I suppose, more personal level within a smaller part of those environments. So whether it's a sitting area, whether it's a dining area, whether it's a kitchen area, using design elements to actually manage the open plan space. And I think in a way that's what broken plan is referring to some extent. I think it captures that kind of idea. I think making spaces livable.
Is this what it's about, Dan? Is it about giving people what they need, not what they want?
Yeah. I think our clients come to us and say, we're opening up, we're doing a big extension, or we want to knock a load of walls down in our house. But they then also talk about zoning. They still want the function of a dining space. They still want a function of a kitchen. But I think they're struggling to understand what these spaces are going to do. So I think they're grasping a little bit of how do we split this space up without losing light, we want all the light to come in through these bifold or sliding doors, but we don't want to lose it by adding walls. A lot of people don't fully appreciate and understand because they're not designers. They come to us to get the best advice they possibly can. So we're leading them in the direction of, you don't want this vast space. It's going to be echoey. It's going to be, to a degree, soulless, because it's just one massive great space. Have you thought about putting a partition up or zoning the dining space? Or we create some seating within the island that blocks the space off and says, right, this is this zone and that is that zone. That's the direction that we seem to be going. But I think the general public are still very much leaning on us as designers, because certainly in our neck of the woods, open plan is still reasonably new. Broken plan is still way out there.
If you create an enormous space, which is what people think that they want, and I think maybe this is quite an urban thing as well, particularly in London, Stephen, where you have very expensive but actually not very big houses, that the way to create space is to completely change the architecture of the building. But you can kind of lose focus of the room. when some of these Victorian houses, for example, were built, you had a fireplace and everything was around the fireplace.
Yeah.
In my day, everything was built around the TV because, you know, that was in the 1970s and 80s, that was the fireplace. Whereas now, big spaces tend to lack focus, don't they?
Well, they can, I think, if they've just been opened up as a kind of a default to create this bigger living space. But I think, as Dan said, the zoning is really important and how that can be done with decoration, with furniture layouts, with lighting, with other architectural features, small architectural features within the room, with flooring. These are the sort of things that can, I suppose, allow you to maintain that openness, which sometimes is really, really important in certain places. I mean, I've worked on a couple of riverside properties on the Thames where they've actually been quite compartmentalised layouts initially, and I've then redesigned them, remodelled them to open them up so that there's more areas within that property that can enjoy the light, because the light's so fantastic in these properties, and enjoy the views, because they have these spectacular views down the river. So you're kind of wanting to give them that as well. As a designer, that's what I'm trying to give them, to make the most of the environment in which they live. But then managing how those spaces work and being very careful about how the functions, what functions are within those spaces, how those functions interact with each other, and making sure that with those, I guess, design details around them, that each of these functions still works and is still as functional and as comfortable and as good looking and good feeling as it can be in its own right, while still being part of that greater room.
One of the biggest things that has come out of the open plan trend is the kitchen island. Mm-hmm. And the kitchen island has become the thing that everybody wants, and they have an image in their head. How are you seeing that move on and develop? The bigger the space, the bigger the island seems to get, and it becomes such a dominant thing in the room. And there's been a few conversations I've had lately where people have said, actually, that the island is not the answer to filling great big spaces up.
I tell you what, I'm finding that customers are heading more in the direction of a peninsula.
Right.
And that leads into broken plan, because the peninsula breaks up the area from what may be the dining space or a living room space. And the beauty of putting a peninsula in is you can add to that there's a wall, there's a divide. So at the back of a peninsula, you could have seating for that's integrated into the peninsula and becomes that zone. So the island is getting way, way, way too big. But I think customers are warming to that and looking at alternatives. We recently have put quite a few built-in banquette-style seating into the island to give you something a little bit different. But again, it's contained, and therefore it's a zone, and I suppose falls into broken plan.
And I suppose that's given you an architectural element, yeah, which reinforces that zoning.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
why it works so well.
Some of the most interesting design I see is when really good designers have a really small space to work in, because that's when they really have to show the sharp end of their skills. And it is really easy to make a total pig's ear of a massive, great big space. Is there a conversation to be had about need over want? Like I say, like, you don't need a massive kitchen. You don't need all that storage. You don't need all those, you know, all those cupboards and those appliances. But you're having them simply to fill up what you feel you should have for an enormous open plan space. Is that?
I think in London, regardless of the property size, space is always at a premium in some way. And I think it's often difficult to get enough storage into many properties, into many London apartments, especially very in very central London. But I think you're right, Andrew, in saying that it's the small spaces which are harder to design, and that's where the solutions have to be much more careful, much more creative, much just thought out in much more detail, so that all those sort of things work. But along with, I guess, touching on the islands and the peninsulas and things, along with making sure actually the circulation in the space is comfortable, making sure you've left enough space to actually live, you know, around all of this stuff that you've fitted in as well. It's so important.
I think that the customers design their kitchen or want their kitchen designed around one day of the year.
Yeah.
And that's Christmas Day. I need three ovens because we cook two turkeys on Christmas Day. Mm. And I need to do the potatoes in the other, which is just crazy. So you have to turn them down and say, listen, it's one day a year. Calm it. Have you thought of doing this? Have you thought of doing that? And being clever with the design to give them all the wants that they desperately want, but toned down slightly, certainly in those smaller spaces.
Is broken plan an opportunity as well to have a discussion about character? particularly in the kind of areas that you work in, Dan, you're dealing with very characterful properties, I'm sure, a lot of the time. Is there a danger that you end up losing character by knocking everything out? And doesn't broken plan give you the opportunity to have those discussions again about maintaining what the essence of that property is?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Most of our kitchens are traditional kitchens. So pieces of furniture, whether it's open shelving or a piece of furniture that's acting as a wall, just gives you that effect of broken plan.
Mm. And the same goes for sort of big Victorian properties in the centre of London, isn't it? People want original features, but then they still want to be able to knock them all out whenever they want.
Yeah, and I think you can. There is a way of maintaining, keeping those features, maintaining the charm and the character of the properties while still creating more open plans. I mean, it's what I suppose I would now call a broken plan, where you still keep some of those architectural elements. You have the light and you have the connection, but it's not just like an aircraft hangar where you've just opened everything up. I guess you end up feeling you're in this huge cavernous space, which once you fill it with furniture, then feels like a furniture showroom probably. Mm. You're sort of using, I mean, you can use some of the, I suppose, the features that are in the property to start to break it up, to work with what you're trying to do from a layout point of view. And I suppose it's a bit like thinking about, you know, as an interior designer, especially on refurbishment work, you're often faced with, you know, existing fabric or services of the building, things which effectively are limitations or problems. And so sometimes it's actually about not just thinking, oh, I wish that wasn't there, but thinking, well, maybe I can use that. Maybe there's something we can do with this to, I don't know, solve the problem about where this, whatever it might be, where this riser is, where this wall has to be, where the structural support is. We can actually use that to enhance the layout as well and actually, I suppose, flip it around and create a richer environment within the layout.
Okay, so let's talk practicalities here. So let's start with you, Dan. I'm going to put you on the spot here. So I am a customer and I own a very nice house in the middle of Kent, and I've come to you and I say, I've seen one of them there, open plan kitchens.
Yes,
I really love one of them. I want to knock out the entire downstairs of my house, get rid of all the walls and put in a big kitchen for me. How do you have that conversation with them? Where do you start?
I would start with saying, are you sure that's what you want to do? It's definitely the first question. The question is why? Why do you want to open the space out? And the client will say, oh, well, you know, we entertain a lot and I want to be able to see my family running around in the living room whilst I'm cooking in the kitchen, and we have great big parties, etc., etc. But they need to think about, and they tend not to think about these things, is echoey rooms. You know, you knock all these walls down and it creates this huge echo. You have to fill these rooms full of furniture to lose the echo. You have to have lots of stuff about, and it's just, it then looks messy. So we would say, well, have you thought about maybe keeping that wall but widening a doorway? You know, that's in my own house, that's exactly what I've done. I have what I would actually call a broken plan downstairs to my house. And we've got the hallway that's got big double doors that lead into the kitchen, but they're not actually doors. It's a slider, so it's hidden out of the way. But I've got an open walkway into my living room. All these things can be shut off, but the light is still beaming in because it's glazed sections that we're putting in. So I'll talk to the client and say, have you considered, you know, some shelving here or a glazed door there to just give you that break within the space? Tone it down a little bit. Maybe this particular wall shouldn't come down. Yeah, we're reasonably gentle because 9 times out of 10, the customer says, no, I want to open it all out. I don't care. And you then have to be very clever with your kitchen design to make it more functional for the space.
That's the understanding of the customer thing, Stephen, isn't it? And trying to understand the brief as much as possible to be able to provide them with something that ultimately will go beyond what that brief is. One of my problems with the massive open plan thing is, because I'm not a designer, is that you lose certain elements of privacy. I don't mean privacy in a kind of lock yourself away. I mean, there's moments where you want to sit and have a conversation without feeling like the entire, you know, house can hear what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Particularly if you've got kids who are growing, you know, in their teenage years or whatever, or they want to sit and watch a TV program, but you don't want to be able to hear it while you're cooking. And that's those little nooks and crannies, I suppose, is what you lose, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're really important because I think, I suppose, culturally, maybe long term, things have become more and more open plan as I suppose we've become more social about how we entertain. And it's gone from, I suppose, maybe it started with a serving hatch between the kitchen and the dining room in the sort of 40s or 50s, where something would be presented to the dining table almost. And it's become a much more social experience, entertaining. And it's like, well, it's like having an island. Everyone is the hub of the evening, of the gathering and things like that. But I suppose in terms of how we think about entertainment and things like that, you touched on the television. We'd all sit around the television in the 70s and 80s and things like that. But the way we consume media now is quite different. So if somebody wants to be doing something on their iPad or wants to be doing, you know, watching something on their phone or whatever it is, it's not the same as having us all sat around together. You need to have your own little space to be able to do different things. Mm. The layout needs to support that. It's about, I think, going back to the client brief, it's about understanding what is it that the client wants and how is it that they live? What is it that they do? How do they live during the week? How do they live at the weekend? How do they live when they entertain? And then just, you know, carefully teasing
what
out
they're doing for Christmas.
What happens.
Yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, as well as Christmas. Yeah. And just teasing out, you know, what happens and what works, and then sort of maybe being devil's advocate sometimes, saying, well, like Dan was saying to his clients, do you really want to do that? Would that work? How does that fit together? And then the clients then start to understand actually some of the implications or limitations that there might be with an open plan space or very open space.
Is there a way of creating that broken plan environment by using things like flooring and lighting and that kind of thing, that perhaps Exactly. you've got the space, but you can create those sort of areas using sort of tricks and things like that?
Absolutely. Those are, you know, what I mentioned a while ago about, I've always thought of broken plan almost being as good design. Not that broken plan is necessarily good design, but if it's done well, it's using, I suppose, the tools that I always have used as a designer, which is, they can be quite subtle things. So it's not like popping a wall or a partition there, but it's using a furniture layout, changing flooring. I mean, I did a project last year where we had two properties which were not together, and we had a very large, effectively an open plan room. And I wouldn't go so far as to call it broken plan, but that was an open plan room which included a kitchen with a very large island, a dining room, a sitting room, and a small study area. But with a combination of lighting, flooring, just changing textures, even for the study area, upholstered wall paneling, so it looks different but also feels different, even acoustically, you kind of create areas which still work in their own right. And they were also, each of those areas was orientated to a view out of the window. So they feel like they're resolved and deliberate when you're actually in each of those areas. So they function together, but each on their own.
It's interesting the language you use there, even, because it's a massive open plan space, but you still say the dining room.
And it feels like that.
The kitchen, the living room. I mean, I'm sure when that family is in that house, they still refer to it as being in the kitchen or in the dining room.
There are some architectural elements in the shape of the room, but also the ceiling. And there were, I mean, mentioned before about problems which can come up. And this had, because of supporting the wall between these two properties, huge amounts of steel going in, which dropped down into the room. So then I was looking at ways of, I created ceiling features so that actually what you see is a ceiling lighting feature which has been designed to zone quite subtly what's underneath. But you never read it as being, oh, this is hiding the steel above. You know, you're kind of using the problems there to create a solution. It sounds corny, but that's what you're kind of trying to do as a designer, is work with all these things together.
But that's the broken bit there is your viewing angle, isn't it?
Yes.
You're breaking what you can actually physically see when you walk in there.
Yeah, and the orientations of different spaces, and then things like the furnishings, so changing the floor finish for those and things like that. So each of the areas still feels quite different.
The split level flooring also comes into that category, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Because,
I mean, it's been a big thing in the States. You have the living space, which is sunk down. You know, you walk in through the front door and you've got the kitchen off to the left and dining off to the right, but actually got that sunken living room space. Mm. And that's considered, to me, is broken plan, because you're splitting.
Absolutely.
But that sounds like where the Beatles would live. That's a very kind of, it's something they have in the Monkees.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's great. But if I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but
go for it, Andrew.
But if you remember Help, the Beatles movie Help, when they all walk in separate front doors in a big long row of terraced houses, but of course when they get inside, it's all one enormous knock-through open plan space, but they have all these, the beds are in these sunken bits, and then of course they all sing to Eleanor Braun, and it all gets a bit weird. But But this is not a new thing, is it? This is, you know, open plan is not a new thing in that sense.
No, not at all. And I don't think broken plan is either.
No.
But it's, like I said before, it's really nice to have that term, because I don't think we've ever had a really catchy term to describe that sort of thing before. And I think it's something that clients understand more than me just, you know, dribbling on about design features and zoning.
Do you think that the products that are available to you as designers are helping this or sort of hindering you in some way? Particularly in kitchens, are those products so naturally modular that you kind of have to do things a certain way? Or is there enough flexibility in what's available to you?
I think in all honesty, it's down to the designer rather than the product. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we sell bespoke furniture, so we can make anything, any shape, any size, any colour. So we can make it fit and suit the space. Rather than, you know, I suppose if you're buying from a set manufacturer, you just could be clever with their product, because at the end of the day, you can create something that can work to create that divide or that break within a space.
See, for example, one of the things that I think has led to the massive open plan trend, which isn't really talked about very much, is the technology of extraction. That's been a huge driving force behind open plan living, is the fact that extraction technology has gone through the roof.
It's gone through the floor.
Or through the sidewall, yeah. I think one of the things that's leading back to a broken plan is the smart home, Alexa, these kind of bits of technology that are allowing people to kind of have their areas within the home as well. I think that's what's driving this part of it too. If you want to listen to your music, you don't necessarily want the entire house to hear your music, I suppose. And so I think that's a huge driver for this kind of way of living, I think. Or maybe not.
Well, I think it's helped a little. But I suppose, I mean, I'd probably say the similar thing to Dan, is that actually the products available hasn't made any difference. It is down to design, and it is down to trying to design really carefully. But extraction has made a difference. Mm. It's just allowed us to have something which is, I suppose, it's less intrusive in the space, something which is either, whether it's ceiling level or downdraft type of thing, something which is not, it's not like you wouldn't necessarily want a feature, but sometimes you don't want a feature.
Well, I've talked before about the fact that I don't like cuckoo hoods particularly, but that's because I'm 6'3" and I either bang my head or can't see anything when I'm trying to, because it's usually up to my nose.
Yeah.
But that's my personal, that's my brief. That's meeting my brief, you see. Okay, so I'm slightly moving away from you, Dan, so I apologise for this now, but I want to talk a little bit about how this trend is sort of spinning off into the rest of the house, because Stephen, you do bathrooms and stuff as well. Here. What's the kind of meaning of this once you get up the stairs and into the bathroom?
I think bathrooms is quite interesting. It's a space which can lend itself to a more open or broken layout. But I think you have to be even more careful in the bathroom than you do in the kitchen or other areas, living areas of the house, because I think the pitfalls are so much greater. I think there was, there was a bit of a thing for maybe having a bathtub at the end of your bed, sort of boutique-y hotel kind of feel and things like that. And I think, you know, I've never put one at the end of a bed. I've used one in a hotel before. And I think it's, you know, that's great. It's fun when you're in a hotel. But really, in your bedroom every day, I think it would be an absolute disaster. And I think it's the bathroom stuff needs to stay in the bathroom and the bedroom stuff stays in the bedroom. And part of that is just the reality of bathroom stuff is wet. Yeah, a lot of it is wet. And the two just don't mix. You know, splashing, singing in the bath and splashing water everywhere at the bottom of the bed, it just doesn't work. I think you can start to use broken plan elements to start to bring things together. I mean, I did do a project a few years ago where it was a large open space and the client was interested in having something more open, but I was quite against doing this bathtub at the end of the bed or anything like that. But what I actually created for him in the end was effectively a broken plan layout where there's a bedroom half to the room and a bathroom side. Now, there was a limitation with doing it. An architectural limitation is because we couldn't get drainage, so we had to raise the floor. But then going back to what you both mentioned before about having a level change and being really useful, that was absolutely fantastic. That was a godsend for that layout. And then using other elements, you know, we had a piece of joinery at the end of the bed, which created a break between the two parts of the room. So there was some privacy as well. But also that was used to put the TV in, TV at the end of the bed. So all of these things kind of work together. And we ended up with a completely open bathroom without the toilet. The toilet was in a separate room just to the side of the dressing room, very neatly to one side. But that was the one thing which obviously doesn't mix. But the rest of the bathroom sort of shares the space. And it was fantastic. It's a very unusual layout. But functionally, it was still absolutely spot on. And being a big space, I was then sort of working within this sort of, I suppose, the architecture of the void that's above these two rooms. So in the center of the room is a freestanding bathtub, albeit behind that small partition. It's got a fiber optic chandelier hanging from the ceiling above. So it starts to make sense of the enormous amount of void above. It worked incredibly well, really, really well. But you can't do it very often because it takes a lot of space to do, I think, a successful broken plan layout, joining a bedroom and bathroom.
I stayed in a hotel in Girona a few weeks back, and to my surprise, as I walked through the door, the shower was this enormous, great big space, but was in the bedroom and was just three sheets of glass, one door that opened. And I was sharing a room with another guy. There were two of us sharing this room. We'd just been on a cycling tour. And I thought, this is madness. This is crazy. And then I saw set into a little recess a curtain that you basically pull round the outside of this glazed shower to give you the privacy. But I suppose that was the hotel thinking, here's a broken plan.
That sounds more like a magician's trick.
It's a bit odd.
Yeah, you're sure that wasn't like the Paul Daniels Hotel or something?
It was very odd.
And I'm not sure what the benefit is.
No.
It's more hassle then to pull the curtain around than it is just to have a shower.
It is, but actually the room was quite small.
Okay.
Now, the shower was a reasonable size. The room was quite small. So it gave the impression of the hotel room being larger than it actually was, and therefore maybe they charge a higher premium because it seems like a larger room, but actually half the room was taken up with shower. It just seemed crazy. So I think there's good ways and bad ways of doing.
So I suppose broken plan. What this all comes down to is things for the sake of it. Like that's like, and you get this a lot in boutique hotels, designed for the sake of it, which is absolutely fine because that's part of what you want to see when you go to those kind of hotels. But again, it's, you know, knocking everything out of the house is space for the sake of it. And it's actually having as much space as possible isn't necessarily always the best solution. It isn't. It's, you know, doing things for the sake of it doesn't actually provide you with the day-to-day life that you want.
No.
And you feel somehow that in the back of your head that you're wasting space by not doing it.
Yeah. It can make spaces feel quite soulless as well, because you lose. One of the things that I think is really important in interiors is it's not just the spaces that you're in, it's how you then transition from one space to another. And there's an awful lot that you can add to those experiences of moving from one thing to another. And when you end up with a totally open plan layout, you've lost that. It's nothing like walking down a corridor and seeing an artwork at the end or a console with something beautiful on it. You lose all these sorts of enriching elements that I would normally design into an interior. You can use broken elements to bring them back in. But that sort of hanger-like experience, that's, I think, one of the things that sort of sucks all of the life out of them.
This is why we have such large islands in open plan spaces, because actually you've only got two walls to put your furniture on. And therefore you have to have the island to make up the furniture. You know, in the old style kitchens, you had four walls to deal with and a door leading into the room. You run wall units all the way around the room. You can't do that in an open plan kitchen. So that's why the great big island has ended up being the focal part of the room. I think the walls need to come back. You need to bring a broken wall, decent sized wide doorway. You know, it doesn't have to have a door attached to it. It's an opening that you can put furniture on both sides. And therefore, the island can shrink a little bit because you've got that added detail, and it creates some interest in the space as well.
But what I can at least guarantee to conclude here, I think, is that there's an enormous industry to be had in about 10 years' time for putting walls back into back into houses, filling in basements, knocking down extensions, and taking bifold doors out and putting normal windows and doors in. That's why
I think you've gone too far there. I think that the bifold doors and the open doors should be there to stay, because that's allowing the light in. But no, I totally agree. Walls do need to go back up in some of these gigantic open spaces.
Well, that's my new business then.
Yeah. Should we start something? Yeah. The three
we'll
of us.
We'll put your walls back in for you. Take out your loft extension.
And as Stephen said, put a hatch in somewhere, because that 70s hatch is
coming back.
It's going to be crazy.
Well, look, I think on that bombshell, well, I will say thank you very much to Stephen. Thank you very much, Dan. This has been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you.
And we'll see. I think we've officially started a debate here about kitchen islands. What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you can
they
take
need to, they need to be smaller.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen Dick from Residence Interior Design and Dan Strong from Jones Britain there. I found that a really interesting conversation, Linz, actually, because it really shows that natural evolution thing, that no design trends are fixed and things just keep always moving on the more that they are done.
That's what's so exciting about the now in home design, is that things are moving so quickly, and as our lives become much more multifaceted, our homes have to react. And I think open plan to broken plan is just a symptom of that, and I think it will be what more and more homeowners will ask for.
So I'll put you on the spot now. Are kitchen islands getting too big?
I don't think they're getting too big, personally. I do think they're evolving, though. I think they are becoming much more multifunctional than just a block in the middle of a space. I think they're having dining tables attached to them rather than breakfast bars, different shaped islands that have different functions within them. Banquette seating is really growing as a trend. So I think the island is still going to be a really requested feature within a kitchen, but maybe have more use than just a cooking breakfast bar perch and station.
I just like the fact that the word banquette is being used so much in conversation.
It's a great word.
Banquette. I think we should just, maybe that's, we should rechristen the podcast. Okay, thank you for that. Now, the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast is weekly, of course. So the best way to make sure that you don't miss any episodes is to subscribe to us through wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoy the show, please also rate us, and even better, leave a nice comment. If you don't want to leave a nice comment, then don't leave any comments. If you want to let us know what you think about Broken Plan, whether you think kitchen islands are too big, or indeed you want to talk to us about anything you hear on these podcasts, you can email me direct on andrew@kbbreview.com. So I'll see you next time.
The Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast is brought to you by Taylist Media with the invaluable help of our good friends at KBB Birmingham 2020. It's the biggest kitchen and bathroom design show in the UK, and it's on at the NEC from March the 1st to the 4th, 2020. We'll be there recording live episodes of this very podcast every afternoon, so to find out who is exhibiting and to register your place, go to kbb.co.uk.